In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We remember yesterday, Peter was hungry, he was up on the roof, and he had a vision, and the vision was in a sheet, all the beasts of the earth, all the wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And the voice said to him, "Take and eat." And Peter says, "I don't take anything that's not kosher." And the Lord did it three times, that what God has declared clean, you must not declare unclean. And then at the door were people from the house of the Gentile Cornelius. And that's what the Lord was trying to teach Peter, that he needed to go to the Gentiles' house and he needed to go and pray that they would become Christians, that they would become followers of the way. And the scripture says, the next day after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. I never forget when we were at Petersham, when we would go there, they would call the whole town to come and be prayed with. You know, this, they never saw anything like this. And oh, it was so wonderful that so many people that never heard the gospel would come and hear about Jesus and how he loved them and how he wanted to heal them. So Peter finds that Cornelius's house is full. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him. And he fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Well, you know what? Peter is not worthy to be worshipped, that's for sure. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many people that had come together. And he said unto them, "You know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into another nation," that's Cornelius' house, "but God showed me that I should not call any man uncommon or unclean." It had to be Peter. He was the leader. He was the leader. Peter had to see that the Gentiles would receive the Holy Spirit. He had to see it because he wouldn't believe it if it was only from Paul. Peter had to see, and he went to Cornelius' house. And you know what? He's going to preach the gospel. What else is there to preach, I tell you, my friends? What else is there to preach but the gospel of Jesus? And people get blessed, and people get healed. And in the gospel, you know, I had a lady call me this morning, and again she thanked me. She said, "Father Tom, they gave me a death sentence at Mass General. And when I came in to pray, be prayed with, you said, did you have a second opinion, a second opinion?" And you kept on saying second opinion. She said, it registered in my head. And I went to Dana Farber, and they've given me hope. She says, "Thank you very much for hearing the word of God and speaking it." I'm telling you, this is interesting. God knows how to do things. Yesterday I had another call from a lady who wanted to send money to the Holy Rosary because her sister had cancer and she lived for 4 or 5 years after we prayed. And you know what? She did die, but you know, she says, "My sister loved going to that church and she was so filled with faith and so filled with love." I'm telling you, Cornelius's house is not unclean and it is not common. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore that what intent you have sent for me. Why do you have me here?" Remember, Cornelius had a vision too. And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your arms have had the remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the seaside, who when he comes shall speak unto you. So he had a vision too. Not even a Jew. He was a Gentile. Who was a Gentile who prayed and a Gentile who gave money. He says, your prayers and your alms have reached heaven. Immediately, therefore, I sent for you, and you have well done that you have come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. In other words, we are here to understand and to listen to the preached word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, be they Jew or Gentile. But in every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted to him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And that word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. That's for sure. And I'm telling you, that church is anointed with the Holy Ghost and power now. If we want to use it, if we want to use it, if we want to step out in faith. Who went about doing good? Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was in him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. See, he's preaching the gospel. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, all the prophets speak of Jesus, that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, which when they heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many of them came with Peter, because that is on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost just as we have? You see, when he preached the gospel that Christ Jesus was anointed by God and that Christ Jesus gave his life for us on the cross, that Christ Jesus was buried and on the third day rose from the dead, the Spirit of God was poured out and they heard them all speaking in tongues. Hoshandarabasi korabandaria sitiria ropasiria mbala shikora siria baba hiriandaraka. I tell you, they were speaking in tongues and prophesying, and Peter said, I cannot forbid water baptism because they have received the same Holy Spirit that I received. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed with them, and he stayed there a certain amount of days. Let me tell you this, not going to be liked by a lot of the Jews, because the Jews say that, you know, we are the special people of God. And yet, they are the special people of God. But the gospel is too good to be for only the Jews. It's for the Jew and the Gentile. And in the 11th chapter, Peter is going to explain what happened with Cornelius, and because he explains that to the Jews. And that we continue now with 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose upon Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spoke into the Greeks preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was on them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. You see, the preaching of the word gave their life to Christ. God knows how to do things. He is the miracle worker. He is the salvation worker. He is the justification worker. He is the redemption worker. God knows how to do things through his only son, Jesus Christ, as we preach Jesus. And you know what? It's still not happening in most places. Most people do not preach Jesus. I do not know what they preach, but most people do not preach Jesus. I've got to preach Jesus. I was born to preach Jesus. I was born to be a priest and to proclaim the word of God. No matter how I feel, in season or out of season, when convenient or inconvenient, I have been chosen to preach the word of God. How do I do it? By grace. By grace. I can only do it by grace. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, that the Gentiles were saved, that they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and he had seen the grace of God. Well, what's the grace of God? They were speaking in tongues. They were prophesying. They were being healed. Oh, yes, he saw the grace of God. Are you seeing the grace of God in your life? Oh, my Lord, every Catholic church should be seeing the grace of God in their life. Jesus moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus moving by his grace. I know that grace of God was seen by Barnabas, and he saw the grace of God at work. What about you and what about me? Do we see the grace of God at work? I tell you, it's all about Jesus. The grace of God is all about Jesus. Grace flows freely from the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is the Lord, and he gives us that grace to do what? To preach the word of God in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient, and to heal the sick. Yes, that is God's way. God's way of showing us that he did not stop healing the sick with the last apostle, but he continues to heal the sick where there is faith. Where there is faith. I tell you, people are afraid to pray for the sick because they said, what if they're not healed? Well, you know what? That's not my business. The Lord did not tell me to heal the sick. He told me to pray for the sick. That's what he told me. I have no ability to heal the sick. I was talking to Danny this morning, and last week he came to me because he was in the 9/11 fire. He was a fireman, and his lungs have been really, really bad, and he tries to walk to church. And I prayed with him very shortly, and he says, your hands are hot. I had said, touch my hands. They're really cold. He says, but when you pray over me, your hands get hot. And you know what? I'm walking to church every day since you prayed over me. I'm walking to church without breath. I said, isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. God working through human people who are broken and who need Jesus just as much as Danny. I tell you, I see things that other people don't see. You know why? Because I believe that God wants to do these things. God wants to do these things. Yes. So they saw the grace of God in the people and was glad and exhorted them all that with one purpose of heart they should cleave unto Jesus Christ. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul, Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, and taught many people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I was converted at an Antioch retreat. It's something like a curcio. Oh yes, the Spirit of God came upon me. I was converted because I was honest with God. Things were happening to everybody else but me. So I went up to the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and I said, you're just like everybody else. Here I come here to find you. And what do? You hide from me. Everybody's being touched and I'm not. And he said to me, rest. So I got on the rug, and I put my head in my hands, and I rested. And when I got up, I saw a picture of wildflowers that were before the Blessed Sacrament, but they were filled with the glory of God. Oh, yes. And he said, "Do you see these flowers, how much glory they give me?" I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "How much more glory can you give me? You're a human being." I said, "Much, Lord." With that, I said, "You can have my life." And there was a river that broke in my stomach. I tell you, I knew nothing about a river. I knew nothing about a stream. I just experienced that river that Jesus said, "Let the man who thirsts come to me and drink, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." It was at an Antioch retreat that this happened. And I know that Bernadette is still giving Antioch retreats. And I tell you, God wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost and power. You say, "I've received confirmation." But has that confirmation gift been released in your life? Do you know the power of the resurrection? Do you know the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you know the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he wants to be released like he was on Pentecost? They were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the Spirit of God came, and they began to speak in other languages and to prophesy. I tell you, it's all about Jesus. That's who it's about. It's all about Jesus. So the Christians were first called Christians at Antioch, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Yes. Then the disciples, everyone according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. We still do that. On Good Friday, we take the collection for the holy places in Jerusalem, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. There's been persecution now. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. It was by the Passover. And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him with four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending that after Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing from the church unto God for him. Isn't it wonderful? Peter was in prison, but the church started to pray. I tell you, the church that prays begins to see wonders. We saw on Monday that they canceled the Black Mass, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people who came for adoration. Oh yes, we should not stop on Mondays. They should do it every Monday, that people would come and adore Jesus. Because when we start praying, God starts moving by his Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? God starts moving by his Spirit. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for Peter. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon Peter, and a light shone in prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise, get up quickly." And his chains fell off him as his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird yourself and bind your sandals on." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast your garments about yourself and follow me." So Peter was rescued by the church that was praying. Oh yes, a praying church sees the miracles of God. A praying church sees the miracles of God. Is your church a praying church? We see people like Father Ron Barker that has adoration almost every day, and that's at St. Joseph's in Wakefield, a praying church. It's a praying church, and I can tell you, even though I don't know this, I guess they're seeing miracles of God because the Blessed Sacrament is there, and people come in all day praying before the Eucharistic Lord. I tell you, when people pray, things begin to happen. It's all about prayer. Remember that the apostles didn't want to wait on tables, but they wanted to pray and preach the word of God. And we saw that they anointed seven Greek deacons, and those deacons soon went out to preach because the apostolic spirit fell upon them. And Peter went out and followed him, and was not that it was true, didn't know it was true, thought he was dreaming, and he didn't know if it was done by an angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate and which leads into the city, which opened to them. It was like, you know, you go to the Stop and Shop, and the door opens when you step on a certain place. But this was before electricity. And the door opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know of surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. I tell you, Peter was a hard nut to crack. He didn't know if it was really happening when it was happening. Only when that door opened into the city did he say, you know, I know God sent his angel. It's very interesting, you know, the Lord chooses people. And, you know, they're the best, but they're the worst also. You know, they were hard to, he was hard to convince that there was an angel. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. What are they praying for? They are praying for the release of their leader, Peter. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, and her name was Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Listen, this is the church. And the church said unto her, You are mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. They don't believe it. They've been praying for the release of Peter, and he gets released, and they don't believe it. Sounds like the church to me. You know, they say, you know, this can't be Peter. He's in jail. But let me tell you, your prayers caused an angel to come into that prison and to set him free. Now you're called to believe that your prayers worked for Peter. You see, this is how it all happens. It happens by prayer. But they are doubtful. They are doubtful. They don't believe it. They say, no, it can't be Peter knocking at the door. Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw Peter, and they were astonished. And he beckoned unto them with and said, Hold your peace. And he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren and to the departed. And he went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers that was with Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea. There he abode. Let me tell you, my friends, when you start praying for people and things begin to happen, don't say it would have happened anyway. I don't believe it. Our prayer is very powerful. You might say, I don't have prayer like Father Tom. You don't have to have prayer like Father Tom. You just have to have faith that God is going to move through the power of the cross and through the power of the resurrection. That's all you need, that miracle-working faith. People say, why are people healed at Holy Rosary? Because we believe that God wants to heal people. We believe it. We believe it because we have seen it. and we want to proclaim it to people that the first great miracle is to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. That is the first great miracle. And then the miracle of what? Of healing takes place. Oh yes, is everyone healed? No, everyone's not healed. Why? I have no idea. It is not my purpose or my business why everyone is not healed. I am to give attention to the people I pray with and believe they're going to be healed. It's up to God to heal people. And that's just the way it is. It's so wonderful when God moves and we start seeing things happening and we start saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You did it for Danny's lungs. Thank you, Jesus. You did it for Peter. You opened the door for Peter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want to believe rather than not believe. And I'm telling you, we were all raised in the school of unbelief. That's the school we were raised in. And we're like Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I see. Unfortunately, believing is seeing. You're not going to see until you believe. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. We want to pay April's bills, and they are paid through people like you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.